everybody. Welcome to Jesse Unplugged. And without further ado, the man of the hour, your host, Jesse Anderson. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I've been looking forward to doing this podcast for a while.
Nice. Yeah, this is the February episode. We're going to be releasing it late February, and you have done a ton since the last time we spoke, which was in early January. Lots of shows, lots of Broadway shows, lots of rock concerts.
February was a busy month for me.
Nice. And is it something like I like a rock concert the same as going to a musical? There's actually a lot of similarities between the two, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
People wouldn't expect that, being like that there's similarities between a rock show and a musical, but there are certain things that are similar, right?
Yeah, pretty much, but you don't have to worry about getting stuck in a circle pit at a musical.
That is true. I actually did my first mosh pit in 10 years last November at a local H concert. I thought those were pretty much outlawed, but not at that show. There was definitely guys moshing around, and even some ladies, too. But, yeah, that's something you don't have to worry about when you go see, like, The Lion King, right?
Right. Thank goodness. But, yeah, I'm ready to give you day by day, so I'll let you start it off so I don't go all over the place.
Well, it looks like the first show that you went to, I don't know if it was in early February or what the exact date was, but Lion King,
yeah,
the
I
musical.
Yeah, that was like late January, I believe.
Nice, and that was at the Cadillac Palace Theater. How's that venue?
I really enjoyed it. That's where I saw Lion King for the very first time a few years back.
Nice. So you've already seen this one. This is your second time?
Not this one. I mean, I saw the first time I've been at was at the Cadillac Palace was to see Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, I got you. Nice.
And this time at the Cadillac recently was to see Lion King, and I got to sit in a whole new section too.
Nice.
For Phantom, I was in the orchestra level. For this one, I got to sit in a dress circle.
What exactly is a dress circle?
I guess it's like kind of like above the orchestra level.
Okay.
And below the balcony.
Is that like VIP premium seating?
Well, not. I wouldn't say that because I didn't pay a premium price, but it was like, I guess they call it a dress circle because it's kind of shaped like one.
Okay, nice.
And I guess too is sometimes the balconies look like a dress if you look from one of those seating chart things.
Okay, it kind of looks like that. Nice. How about this? Like The Lion King, the movie, compared to the musical. I remember seeing the movie when I was kind of little, and I really liked it a lot. Is it the same story? Is it sort of different? Are the songs the same? Or?
Yeah, well, there's a few different stuff, but a lot of extra things. But the storyline is pretty much the same as some of the main music.
Nice. Like Can You Feel the Love Tonight? They sing that?
Yep.
Nice. And Elton John wrote those songs. Those were great songs when they came out. But they do take a little bit of liberty and change it up from the movie a little bit, you said?
Yeah, well, and there's a large African influence in the musical.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I guess there was not that much in the movie, but there was a little bit in, like, the opening song that they sing right at the intro of the movie. I really like that musical. It was actually a musical even as a Disney film. There was it was pretty much just an animated musical.
Oh man,
right?
And I'll tell you, even the puppetry was awesome.
Nice.
And even the costumes were great.
Is Simba?
Everybody was in their costume.
Is Simba a person at the musical, or is it a puppet?
Yep. No, he was dressed to look like Simba, but he was a human. Pretty much everybody was.
Okay.
But nice. A lot of them were also as puppeteers, like Timon, And you know the Timon guy, like this little, you know this little guy. I forgot.
A meerkat, right?
Yeah, meerkat. It was like this guy. You know how there's this, I guess I learned at Disney. There's this color they Disney calls, called a color called, like, go away green or something.
Okay.
To help you, like, so you don't pay attention to it or whatever. And this guy was, like, painted from head to toe in that color.
Oh, weird. Okay. So, is it, like, glow-in-the-dark? Or?
Not really glow-in-the-dark, but I guess they do that, and you're supposed to just pay attention to the puppet. But the puppeteer is providing the movement for it and the voice.
Oh, I got you. Very interesting. So you're, like, not supposed to, like, look at the human. You're supposed to look at the puppet at that point.
Yes.
Very cool.
Man, it was amazing.
And it was easy to separate the puppeteer from the puppet. You weren't looking at the guy moving underneath
right.
it. Yeah. That's awesome.
I know. And I was really excited to see it, you know. And I guess it was like, at first I didn't know it was, has been around for so many years. I guess it's like for 20 years or so.
Yeah, the movie had to be about 1994 or 3.
Well, I mean the musical.
Yeah, so maybe it was like a year after the movie, right?
Yeah.
So it came after the movie, obviously. And did you go with a friend? Did you go with
just
family?
Just myself.
Just yourself? Nice.
Yep.
That's very cool. So would you would you definitely recommend The Lion King at the Cadillac Palace?
Definitely. Of course it's gone by now, but I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Okay, and yeah, you got another one here on the list. This one I've been hearing awesome things about. The musical is called Beautiful, the Carole King Story or something like that.
Yeah. It's like, well, I guess it's basically on Carole King's life. Thing is, I've never really been like a diehard fan. I mean, I like some of her music to an extent, but. You know, and I was seeing it. It was on all the billboards on the train stations, you know?
Sure.
And I thought, what the heck?
Nice.
It'll be good to see something new.
Yeah, exactly. It was something that you don't even know what the story is
you know?
And you're going there.
You know, and I got to see something new, you know?
Nice.
And it gave me a much better knowledge about her, and more respect, much greater respect for Carole King, both with her life story and her music.
I know her big album was called Tapestry, and that had like a lot of hit singles from it. And what she started off as just a songwriter.
Correct? Yeah, and all those great songs I used to listen to when I was a kid.
Nice.
I didn't even know she wrote.
Yeah, I'm sure she gets a nice royalty check every time she goes to the mailbox.
Yeah,
right?
and it was like, of course, for that show, I was all the way up in the balcony.
Okay.
At the Oriental Theater, and that was also kind of change of scenery for me, because the first time I went to Oriental, it was after I had seen The Phantom.
Okay.
I went to see Wicked, and I was in the orchestra section.
Nice. Okay. But this time you were way up in the nosebleeds?
Well,
or what?
And I mean, pretty much, the thing is, I wanted to see it, but I didn't have to. I have to spend so much money, you know?
Okay.
So I bought like a $40 ticket on a whim. I mean, yeah, it's pretty disconcerting. For a while, I felt like it was in 300 section of the United Center.
Nice. But for 40 bucks, that's pretty cheap to go see a nice musical. Right?
But once you start really getting into the musical, you don't pay attention to the heights and the steep incline. And I'll tell you, people were even dancing in their seats.
Nice. That's cool. So it wasn't all uppity and snooty. It was everybody
right.
was having fun enjoying
yeah.
the music.
And I'm pretty sure there were a ton of diehard fans there.
And she doesn't make an appearance, does she?
No.
Maybe once in like when it first opened or something, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
That's really cool, though. So you didn't know the music, or you had heard of it, but you definitely gained a lot of respect after seeing that.
Yeah, totally. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for 40 bucks, you can do a lot worse. I think that's a really good price to go see it. I mean, a musical usually runs from like 80 to 150 or 200, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I decided to be in the balcony though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're seeing the same show. It's just, and it's half the price, so I can totally understand that.
And the view was still very good, even though I was way high up there. The view was still really good. I guess they just have the seats at such an incline, where so it's not like you're staring at the top of their heads like you do at the United Center.
Sure. Yeah.
But they gotta... you still see a straight view of the stage.
That's awesome. Nice. Is there a thing like after the play, do the performers come out and do they do autographs? Do they do Q&A or anything like that? Or
nope.
Is it just it's over and then everybody leaves?
Yep.
Nice. Awesome. So that, yeah, so that's beautiful, the Carol King musical at the Oriental Theater?
Yes.
Nice. Another highly recommended one?
I would definitely recommend it. If it ever comes to your neighborhood, definitely check it out.
Awesome. And now we got a third one. Was it a thing of that you just realized at the beginning of this year that you wanted to see a bunch of musicals? What turned you on to the whole musical thing? I know you had seen Phantom before, but...
Well, I guess I just felt like doing stuff, you know?
Nice.
Doing some different things.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of the house, get to see a cool thing. And it's not like a movie where you're just seeing a screen. You're actually seeing people, like, really bust their chops and work hard for their money.
Yeah, and moving on, I really enjoyed watching Cabaret.
Nice. Number three is Cabaret. What venue is – oh, wait, what venue was this one?
Which is now called the Private Bank Theater, formerly known as the Bank of America Theater.
Okay, nice.
That wasn't my first time there. I actually went there for the first time. I guess it was my dad's birthday, if I can remember correctly. And as a birthday gift to him, she bought the tickets for the family to see Book of Mormon.
Okay, nice. Oh, I've heard that's amazing. Was that really good?
Yeah, and I'll tell you more about it later. But so I just thought, what the heck? You know, I've heard of so many great things about it. It would be nice to see, you know?
Sure. Sounds
and,
good.
And, you know, and like, thing is, I didn't want to spend a ton of money in a short time amount of time. So I went in and got the cheap seats again.
Okay, sure.
Which was a pretty big mistake because, well, I mean, I still could see the stage, but the seat I was in was much higher than the seat I was in
at the last one.
Yeah, the Oriental.
Okay.
Because.
So way up there.
Yeah, this is probably like the tip top of the United Center nice. Kind of thing.
How inexpensive were the tickets? Were they around 40 or were they?
Yeah, same around. Yeah.
Around.
But that. And the levels were still steep. And there's
nice.
No railings.
Okay. Oh, really? Jeez.
It's like one wrong. It's like almost wrong. One wrong step, and you could fall.
You could keep tumbling down the stairs until.
I know. It's like
not good.
Some people. I'm pretty sure some people had to look. Go to the edge of their seat to see everything.
To see everything, jeez. So did that hurt your enjoyment of Cabaret at all, or was it?
No, I was still able to enjoy it, but getting to my seat and leaving my seat were the hard parts.
Nice. How about this? Is there like two? Is there an intermission in the middle of the thing?
Yep.
Nice. And did you get food? Do you bring it to your seat? What did you eat? Did you eat anything?
Yeah, just the usual, my usual, glass of Pepsi and the bag of M&Ms.
Nice, that works.
But as much as I enjoyed the musical, for that place, I would definitely recommend saving up more money to get to a lower level
and buying a nicer ticket. Yeah.
Yes. So you're.
Hey, tell me about the story about Cabaret. I'm totally unaware of what this is about.
I guess it's supposed to take place. Take place at some like Kit Kat Club thing.
Okay, like 30s or. 1920s?
Like around 40s or something. And this,
okay.
I guess it's loosely, the storyline is kind of loosely tangled with the start of the World War II in Germany.
Oh, I got you.
Neat. That's where it kind of takes place, where the setting is.
Is it a love story? What kind of...
I guess you could say that.
Nice.
I don't want to give too much away.
Sure. But, yeah, I know cabaret dancing. Is that usually, like, burlesque type
stuff?
Yeah,
pretty... It was pretty provocative.
Nice.
And,
it was, but you're sitting up so high you couldn't see. You could hardly see him. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I was able to see really good, but it was really high.
Nice. But, yeah, you said the music was really good at the thing?
I really enjoyed it. Well, not to give too much away, but there's this one song, Two Ladies, which is very, very funny.
Nice. Okay. Interesting. Well, they'll have to go check it out. That's Cabaret. And you definitely say that's an awesome one, but just try to get a little bit better seat if you could.
Yes.
Nice.
Definitely.
Very awesome. Yeah, I think we should take a little break. Mention thank you to everybody who has checked out Jesse Unplugged on Facebook. Just look, search Jesse Unplugged. That'll come right up. And, yeah, we post every show on there. We post little interesting stuff. You post stuff that you like new music, new concerts.
Pretty much.
I once in a while post a little thing about my show. And, yeah, I think there's like 55 or 56 people that have pushed the like button. So thank you to all those people. Right?
Of course.
And Twitter, not as active on it, but definitely follow Jesse at JesseAnderson39. That's capital J, capital A, 39. Why did you pick 39?
That was my age.
And that's a good segue. You are celebrating your big 40th birthday next month. And
2 weeks away.
Looks like you got a big – are you taking the whole week off, or what are you doing?
Yep, I'm taking the whole week off, dude.
Nice. And going out to eat, doing other stuff, going to – what do you got planned?
You know, just pretty much I plan on doing something for every day of the week.
Nice. That's like my sister. She has a birthday week, and me and my dad were like, "You get a birthday week? How did you do that? I mean, it's usually just one day." But however, 40 is a big age. I mean, that's like 21, 40, 50, 60. All those are big times. Yep. So
yeah, definitely.
Do you feel any older or no?
Not really. But no matter how old I get, I'm probably gonna. I can party for like 10 more years, I think.
Nice. But yeah, 40 is the new 30, really. 30 is the new 20, all that jazz. I believe it. I mean, my dad still has a job and he's 63 or something. So everybody, it seems like they're living their life more. You used to retire at 50, and now people are like, what am I going to do when I'm just sitting at home? Let's keep working till 70 or something like that. So.
Especially with the economy.
Yeah, especially with the economy. And, I'm the type of person that wouldn't want to just sit at home all day. I'd like to, even if I didn't like my job, at least it's something to wake up and then, you know, look forward to getting off of work, you know.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
But, yeah, so if you want to wish Jesse a happy birthday, that's coming up. What's the exact date?
Wednesday, the 9th of March.
March 9th. Very cool. And, turning 40, and we're going to help him celebrate. That should be a good night.
Hey, yo, Jay Porks here. I know you're keeping a lock to the Dira Network for all your podcast needs, whether that's the Andy Dira Show, the Tyler Kale Show, Jesse Unplugged, or the smooth, sultry tones of me, the Jay Porks Podcast. You keep it locked to AndyDira.com all throughout 2016 for all the luscious podcast action.
Yeah, and we have another second part of this show. It's the flip side of the musicals. How about some rock shows where, as you said, you can get thrown around at a rock show, not something that would happen at a musical.
Yeah.
Usually not an intermission at a rock show, usually just an encore.
Yes, or two or three.
And usually you don't have a glass of Pepsi and M&M's, you have a beer or whatever. But
yep.
Yeah, so the first one you got here at the Empty Bottle, which is a great place. However, it's not a good place if you have a bad back or bad legs, because I was going to invite one of my friends has MS, and I invited him to a show at the Empty Bottle. He says, "Are you kidding me? There are like no seats, and there's just like one little like concrete staircase, correct? That off to the side of the stage," and he said, "No, thank you." But yeah, we got Lever, one of your favorite bands of the time right now, right? So Lever at the Empty Bottle, you guys have been friends for a couple years now, correct?
Yep. We've been pretty tight.
They got kind of a poppy, grungy, alt-rock sound. I really do enjoy what I've heard, so I definitely need to catch them live eventually.
Yes, one of these days.
Did they headline the Empty Bottle, or were they an opener for another band? Or?
Well, not only did they headline, that was their debut show there.
Oh, the first time playing Empty Bottle.
Yeah, and I would have to tell you, that's probably the highest energetic show they've ever played.
That's awesome. Nice.
It's like, you know how they say this, like, how a good show is when the band lets off its energy, and then goes back and forth?
Okay, sure.
And it's almost like the band, fans are helping the band play harder, and the band is helping the fans rock harder.
It's kind of like, yeah, the band plays better so that the audience enjoys it more. The audience gives them more energy, and then the band uses that energy to play harder. It's like a catch-22, and it all works out nicely. And it can be the opposite, too. If the audience isn't into it, sometimes the band will not play to their greatest potential, and then the audience will definitely not be into it, and then it just keeps spiraling, right?
Yes.
Interesting. But so they were definitely firing on all cylinders.
Totally. Oh, man, it was like – and they actually had a good crowd there.
Nice.
That night.
What day of the week was it?
It was – I believe it was like Wednesday or Thursday.
Weekday,
it was Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get a good audience in Chicago on a weekday in the winter with snow and all that stuff. I mean, it hasn't been a bad winter this year, so maybe that's a good thing. But, yeah, it's tough on a Wednesday to get all your friends together when people have jobs in the morning and stuff like that. So that's cool. You also made a note about that the pizza was awesome at the Empty Bottle, correct?
That was another place.
Oh, okay. Nice.
We'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, that was
gotcha. Okay.
That was probably their best show ever.
Really awesome, and
they rocked the house.
People should definitely check out Lever and their music.
They better.
We'll put links up at Jesse Unplugged. I think you have already, but we'll do another one definitely. And yeah, hopefully eventually we'll be able to bring the recorder and have you chat with them live on the show or on the podcast.
They would love to come do another show with me.
Nice. Very awesome. So that brings us to the other local band that you're championing pretty much two local bands nowadays. That's Lever. And then the other band is called The Inventors. And you got to see them at the HVAC pub, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, this is a story for them.
Okay.
Well, I don't normally go out on a Friday night because I tend to have to work early.
Yep.
But they were doing a show right in, like, Wrigleyville. And I thought, what the heck? I may not get another chance to see him for a while. And I thought it would be a nice way for – it would be good to get a chance to hang out with him too.
Nice.
So I did that and had some awesome – oh, man, the pizza was to die for as well.
Nice.
What I had was, like, sausage, pepperoni, and I think grilled onions and the roasted garlic.
Oh, nice.
Oh, God, it melted in my mouth.
Thin crust or
– thin crust, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about deep dish. I like – every once in a while I'll have deep dish, but – To me, it's just like lasagna, kind of. I like a,
everybody says that.
I like a crunchy, thin crust, almost. And I also like New York style, where it's just a huge piece, and you fold it up and eat it. I like that too.
Oh, yeah, I think that's good.
Maybe I don't belong in Chicago, but yeah, that thin crust is to die for. And so they have really good pizza. At, is it pronounced HVAC Pub or HVAC? Did you ever figure that out?
It's HVAC.
It's air conditioning and heating. It's a weird. Yeah, that's usually what they call it, right? Yeah. And that's in Wrigleyville?
Yes.
Nice. I've heard about it. Never been.
Yeah, it used to be. It actually used to be another venue.
Okay.
But before it became the HVAC place.
Huh.
Have you ever been to? Have you been to Wrigleyville in a while?
Not so much in a while, but I used to all the time. I had buddies that lived there. I'm saying about 10 years ago, I used to go there.
Oh, never
mind,
because there used to be this venue that looked like it was a garage.
Okay.
But then it became the HVAC. So I there was probably two other bands gonna play, you know. But I left right after the Inventors because I had to get some sleep.
Oh yeah, don't you work at like 3 in the morning?
No, I had to work at 4. So
4, jeez.
I was able to get a good like 3.5 hours sleep.
Oh, jeez, that's tough. But very cool. I'm checking out the HVAC Pub on the internet. Looks like an awesome, kind of like punkish, bikerish type thing.
Yeah, it was, but in the pizza, and it's all pizza.
Doesn't appear to be a Boys Town kind of club.
Nope.
No. But yeah,
it's all pizza.
And I got to try that pizza. That sounds awesome. So. The Inventors, did they play their song that we use on the intro now?
Yep.
Oh, I'm looking at the pizza, and it looks amazing. Wow, okay.
I know.
We'll have to put a link up on that, of course. And, yeah, that seems like a really interesting place to check out. And
you and I got to go there for lunch or dinner sometime.
Yeah, I'd be down to check it out, of course. Once it gets a little nicer out and I'll drive down and check it out. Very cool. And was that – how many times have you seen The Inventors?
Like – I guess like 3 or 4 times probably.
Okay. Nice. And,
yeah, they're a really good band.
Are they all from Chicago? Or?
2 are from here in Chicago. Well, and the other 2 are from Indiana.
Oh, okay.
The bassist and the guitar, rhythm guitar or whatever, are from Chicago.
I gotcha. Nice.
The bassist, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
The bassist and the rhythm guitar or the second guitar are from Indiana. The vocalist, Joe Mingo, and the drummer, Grant, they're from Chicago.
Nice. Okay, so the singer and the drummer, and then the other guys are from Indiana.
Yep.
Very cool, and sounds like a good time. And then that brings us to our next show, Aragon Ballroom. What can I say? That's an awesome place. I saw Beck play there.
That was an awesome, kind of an awesome night for me, because I'll tell you,
the Dropkick Murphys, right?
Yeah, it was awesome, but... let me start with this. That was my very first time to be there, and for a show that didn't involve my brother Billy.
Oh, I was going to say, your first time at the Aragon, like, okay, so besides Smashing Pumpkins stuff.
Yeah, because that's Billy's the only stuff. Yeah, he's the only reason why I ever went most of the other times. So, and I thought, you know, like I said, before, like with the Inventors, you know, it was on a Friday, and I was like, yeah, but... I may never get another. I thought myself. I may never get another chance.
Yeah, who knows? You gotta. That's a good thing to do about life. You know, you never know if you're gonna get another chance.
And it was it was like real close, and it was like I'm Lawrence, and that's much closer than going all the way to Wrigleyville or even the going towards the Empty Bottle. So, so I bought the ticket, and so. Man.
Yeah, Aragon's great. I saw the Black Crows there. I saw Beck. My buddy saw the Stripes and Flaming Lips together on a New Year's Eve show, which would have been awesome. It's a huge place. Not the greatest sound, but it's just a huge place with a lot of, like, personality to it. It's not like the nicest, cleanest place, but it's got a lot of. You can just tell there's been a million awesome rock shows played in that place.
You know what? For that, the kind of music that plays there, you wouldn't want it to be sparkling clean, though.
That is
true.
You
want it to be. You want it to have some of that grunge to it.
Exactly, and like I remember when people stopped smoking cigarettes at concerts. And I thought it didn't feel as rock and roll as without the cigarette smoke in there. But now I actually appreciate it.
There was a lot there now.
Was there?
Oh, geez, there was.
Really? Nice.
And and I learned so much, and I gained so much more respect for the music because I heard so many new songs I never seen before. And I'll tell you, dude, I was like literally inches away from a circle pit.
Nice.
And there were people literally trying to enjoy the show and playing crowd control at the same time because it's like it was like maybe like the first 50 or so 30 or 40 feet was the moshers.
Okay.
And beyond that was like the people who just wanted to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, some of these guys fell hard.
But then they get picked up by the next guy, which is a nice thing.
And it's
right?
like, and then they get thrown back in.
It's weird. Like the mosh pit is weird because you, even if you don't want to be in it, like you absorb the wave of the mosh pit, and then you kind of have to push back just to. So then you become in it, and you, even if you didn't want to be part of it, you're kind of caught up in a mosh.
Yeah, it's like some of them. Oh man, song. Some is like. Some of the guys fell hard on each other.
Yep.
You couldn't even hear it.
Jeez.
Bam! It's like, because they're mashing so hard, and they're so drunk, they don't even care.
Nice. But yeah, Dropkick Murphys, they're like a punk band with Irish roots. They don't have bagpipe, or do they?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Okay, nice. So it definitely is very Irish.
Yeah, here's a little tidbit of some interesting history about me liking that band. Would you would any of our fans like to know how I discovered Dropkick Murphy?
I would. I'm a fan, so yes, let's do it.
It was a few years ago, and you know how when Tilt a Kilt had those commercials?
Sure, yeah.
One of the commercials just ends up having the song called "Shipping Off to Boston." You know how it goes, boom, 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 boom. You know how one song.
Okay, yeah, I think so.
And so, after seeing that commercial a couple times, I looked up the song, and there it is. And the rest makes history.
Nice. And they've been kicking around. I remember seeing their name in the 90s and stuff like that. They've been around for at least 20 years, I have a feeling, right?
Yeah. They've celebrated this tour. It was like their 20-year anniversary tour.
Oh, exactly. So nice. So that's pretty cool. They've got to be in their 40s or 50s by now, and they're still making loud punk rock with Irish roots. That's very cool.
Oh, jeez.
That's awesome.
It was nuts.
I actually, like 2 weeks ago, I interviewed a guy who owns a bookstore that's right next to the Aragon, and he's closing shop after having the family's owned the bookstore and record store for 50 years, and he's closing up shop. But he's got awesome stories because he said the bands would go set up at the Aragon earlier in the day, and then guess where they'd go shop and spend their money? Over at Shake, Rattle, and Read, which is right on the same block. And unfortunately, he says streaming culture, everybody's got everything, got their books on their phone, their Kindle, got their music on their phone. So it's time, and the rent keeps going up and up and up. So it's a change in culture. But he's got some cool stories. Shake, Rattle, and Read, they're going to be closing this May. So I might have to definitely check that out before they close shop. But yeah, Aragon Ballroom, lots of cool stories. Did you see Billy there as part of the Pumpkins, or was it Solo or Zwan or something? Or?
I saw him mostly when they were part of the Pumpkins.
Nice. Are we talking before with James Iha and Darcy, or the new
Both old and new.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I definitely never got to see him there. But it was funny. When we went to go to the Thalia Hall show last – actually, it wasn't even last winter. It was a year ago last November. But I felt like the Thalia Hall is the Aragon smushed into a smaller
version. I know.
It's just like a mini Aragon, and it's a little bit cooler. I mean, they're both cool, but yeah, Aragon, what can you say about the place? It's got a lot of history, and that seems like a pretty awesome show. So you definitely give thumbs up. And
I am so glad I decided to do that, because like I said, I would have probably never had another chance.
A lot of shows are like that, like where I got nothing to do on a Friday and the ticket's $12.50. You don't really have an excuse not to go. I got a friend who wants to go. Then you go see a band that you've never seen before, and guess what? Now you're a new fan. So.
I would like to point out real quick about a band called Tiger Army, who caught my eye. They were one of the opening bands for Dropkick Murphy. So before we call it an episode, can we talk about them too?
Yeah, sure. So they opened up at the Aragon.
They were one of the. They were one of the two opening bands.
Nice.
And I'll tell you, that was basically my very first time seeing them ever, or even hearing about them. But they were awesome.
I had heard of them for at least 5 to 10 years. I remember seeing the CD at our store that I keep going to, but never really had heard them. Are they punk? Are they metal? How would you describe the music?
You know, they were metal alternative, because there are some songs I think you should check out called FTW, which is short for Fuck the World.
Nice.
That's awesome, and I've seen a lot of videos of them during that song, and some actual amateur videos, couple during of some circle pits.
Nice, okay.
And so they're an awesome band. Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, nothing like way below War.
Okay, cool.
And Megadeth and everything, you know, way below that.
Gotcha. So not metal, but loud.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. And they were a good, bless you. But it seems like they were a perfect opener for Dropkick Murphys, seeing that the Dropkick Murphys are loud and intense.
Yes. My apologies. I had to get off to sneeze for a second.
No big deal.
Yeah, bye.
But so you're a new fan of both the Dropkick Murphys and Tiger Army now.
Yep. Well, I've been a fan of Dropkick Murphy for a while, but let's just say I'm a bigger fan now.
Nice. And that's the beautiful thing about live music, people. You can definitely become a new fan of stuff that you've never had checked out, or if you had checked it out, you might become more of a fan. And that's a great list of shows, great list of musicals too, man.
I know.
Are you going to be I was going to say, are you going to take it easy in March? But then you just mentioned your birthday week, so it seems like the party is going to continue into March, huh?
Well, and pretty much, yeah, and well, I'm actually got tickets to see like 3 more musicals coming out.
Nice. What are those, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, there's this one in late March. I'm seeing something called Matilda.
Was that a movie or something that rings
a bell? It's a book, like a book, a children's book.
Okay. No, I remember that. Yeah.
And you know, just like, kind of like one of those rim things, you know, like just like the Beautiful show.
Nice.
It was kind of basically on a whim. I decided to get tickets.
Sure.
And I was seeing something new, and also, so in early April, I'm finally getting a chance to see Riverdance.
Oh, nice.
I love the music so much. And I'm looking so forward to seeing it.
That'll be very awesome. Nice. Do you have any concerts lined up?
Outside of that, nothing really.
Nice. I've got nothing. I've got a bunch of stuff through Chicagoist I've been asking for tickets for, but we'll see what happens if I really get them or not. Cross your fingers. And, yes, this has been an awesome chat, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate everybody who's checked out the show. tell a friend, subscribe on iTunes. And yeah, we'll be doing one for March pretty soon. I think right after the birthday week or something. Maybe we'll cover what happened during the birthday week. Hopefully Jesse's not super hungover after the week, but we'll definitely.
Who knows?
I mean,
and the thing is, my one disclaimer is, I may not remember half of it.
Nice.
Well, don't forget, dude, you're going to be part of it.
Yep, I'm definitely making it out one of the nights. So we got it planned for, I think, the Friday, right?
Yeah, that's okay, the one night. Cool. I want you to be there.
Sweet. And, yeah, I appreciate the invite. Appreciate you doing the show. This is episode 6, I think, and coming up on, like, 7 months. This is very, very awesome. I like doing it.
Yeah, I love doing it with you too, man. Thanks for the support and giving me a chance to find a new outreach.
Nice. Yeah, we always have interesting stuff. You got an interesting story. You're always up to something, and that's cool. And we'll definitely be doing one in the next couple weeks. Happy birthday. I will be seeing you soon. And, yes, as we said before, you can just like him on Facebook. That's Jesse Unplugged. You can follow Jesse Anderson 39. All my stuff. I got my podcasts, my articles that I've written up at andydare.com. And yes, thanks to everybody who's checked it out and told a friend. We will see you in March. Any last words, Jesse?
Thanks again to everybody who has been listening, and just keep on listening.
Nice.
We'll keep on talking.
We'll keep on doing it. So if you keep listening, we'll keep doing it. And thank you so much on behalf of Jesse. This is Andy signing off for Jesse Unplugged.
It's Jesse Unplugged. It's Jesse Unplugged. We're gonna find out what's up with Jesse this week. Jesse Unplugged.